Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And thank you, Picker. I like hearing that song first thing on Sunday morning. And good morning to all you listeners out there. It's a day before Christmas, Christmas Eve. I hope all of you are enjoying the holidays. You're listening to RT Lowe, and the program is For Your Information here on KTHT 97.1, your country legends, Houston, Cleveland. For Your Information is a public affairs program, and we have someone on from the community generally to tell us things that they deal with in the community. I figured for the day before Christmas, Christmas Eve, it would be good to talk about the Christmas story and Christmas in general. And I decided the best people to turn to on that would be somebody whose job it is to pass on that information from, shall we call it, the original source. He is the lead pastor at Cornerstone Church, Timothy McGee. Are you still there, Pastor McGee?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. I hope I didn't talk too much there, but I was trying to lead us in for the Christmas show.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, Pastor McGee, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I am 34 years old and married and father of three. We live out in Targington. My son's a first grader out there. My other two aren't in school yet. And then I serve here full-time as a lead pastor at Cornerstone. I grew up here in the Targington area, graduated from Targington High School in 01, and then have a business degree from Sam Houston State University, got that in 05. And then I've been one of the pastors here at our church since 09.
You didn't go too far from home.
No, I've stayed pretty local.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm a graduate of Cleveland High School.
All right.
So there's something about this area. It keeps a lot of us close to the heart and home, I guess.
Yes, sir.
You work with the Cornerstone Church. Now, some people may not be familiar with the church, so would you tell them where you're located and, the denomination, things like that?
For sure. We are a mile west of Cleveland, right there where 59 goes over 105. We are just straight a mile west. If you'll pass Walmart, pass Burger King, and keep going, you'll find us out there. It was just outside the city limits, but now the city's growing out this direction. And mm-hmm. We are a non-denominational church, and we meet every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., and then, of course, we have classes on Wednesdays at 7, and we have a nursery for 0 to 2 years of age, and we have children classes from 2 all the way up to 100 is what we say. So there's somewhere for everyone here, and we love everybody that comes in the doors. We're a very unique group out here, and just love God and love people is kind of the motto we try to live by.
And it's a pretty good-sized church. You have a large congregation, don't you?
Yeah, we have been growing and got a good group that comes together every week, and it's really kind of interesting, kind of neat. It's still got a small church feel. We still pretty much know everybody, but it seems like the family keeps getting bigger.
Well, that's great. Actually, I've watched it grow. I remember when the building was in town here that y'all had for years.
Right there between Sonic and Dairy Queen?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember those days. I was a teenager then.
And it's grown, and it's a beautiful church out there on 105.
Thank you.
One of the things we ought to talk about as we talk about the holidays and Christmas, it's gotten so, I hate to use the term commercial constantly, but that's part of it. But there's just so much other stuff tied in, everybody's trying to bring up other things. It's kind of lost a lot of the original story, hasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's really a far cry from what we see the Bible laying out. People, I really, you know, don't like when I hear the term about I'm ready for the holidays to be over or Christmas is so exhausting, because it really isn't supposed to be like that.
Well, that's the thing, is we've made it exhausting.
Yes, sir.
And the Christmas story, of course, we'll get into that in a little bit. But when you deal with people that have to go through this with other members of even their family, but friends, work, of all the, I guess you'd say, non-denominational or non-Christian aspects of Christmas. There was a discussion for a long time about Xmas and things like that. How do you answer those questions? How do you bring Christ back into Christmas?
Well, I think that you can look at many of the traditions that we hold and the ways that we celebrate, and you can point them towards Christmas. My family in particular, we do an Advent calendar, and we reinforce with our children that as we're counting down the days to Christmas, that it's in celebration of Jesus' birthday, and that Jesus did come, and that, you know, he came to save us, and so that's why we celebrate him. We very much are excited to celebrate the holidays and play a part in many of the traditions. This year we were in the parade here in town, and we do all of the fun stuff. We've got lights on the house, and we try to make Christmas as big as we can, because my take is the whole world's attention is turned towards Jesus in this season, so we as the church should definitely play a part in that. And one thing that we started doing with our gifts, with our kids and our own family, is that our children get to pick three gifts. And sometimes they pick more, but we have to choose which three they get in honor of Christ receiving three gifts at his birth.
Yes.
Try not to let it be commercialized, and try to let Jesus have his seat in the holiday, not let it just be about Santa and presents and Rudolph and reindeer and everything else. But, you know, everything, the carols that we sing paint a picture of Jesus. Our church is going to do a big Christmas play. All of our children are going to be telling the Christmas story and doing a play, and so that keeps our children focused on the story of Christ running parallel, and actually not running parallel, but the heartbeat of the Christmas story. And, you know, the lights that we hang on the house, I remind the kids that Jesus is the light of the world. We have a little manger scene on our front porch. And so if we're intentional about it, we can see Christ even in what for some becomes hustle and bustle and competition.
And that's a great idea. We're speaking with Timothy McGee. He is the lead pastor for Cornerstone Church here in the just outside of the Cleveland city limits. As we're talking about the season and things, there's so many different things going on. A lot of people forget that the light kind of remind us also of the light that led the wise men and things like that. So there's all, if people think about it, you know, it kind of leads us. I even heard a story about the Christmas tree going and cutting one down and bringing it back up as kind of a part of the resurrection story, if you will. But as people have talked about the Christmas story, it didn't come out of nowhere. There's a reason they ended up at the manger and in Bethlehem. Can you give us some background on how they got to Bethlehem and who they were and the situation that they were in at the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we all know that Jesus' earthly mother, that God chose Mary to be his mom. And in those days, Mary was engaged to her husband-to-be, and his name was Joseph. And we know the story of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And they weren't married yet. They were betrothed. And the best way we can put that in our present-day language is to say they were engaged. And then by miracle and by the will of God, Mary became pregnant with Jesus, the Messiah. But they weren't there in Bethlehem. It wasn't actually their home. Joseph was from Nazareth, and him and Mary were there, and they had to go to Bethlehem because of a census. Caesar Augustus had issued a census that they would have to go back to the place of their lineage. And so since Joseph was of the family of David, he had to go to Bethlehem, the town of David. And over the course of time as they were there, it was then that Mary was ready to deliver baby Jesus. And as the story goes, and we know there was no room in any of the inns, and Bethlehem is normally a quiet town, but on this particular timing and on this day, it was very booming because everyone had to go back home. It was the time for the census. It was just kind of the grandest, greatest family reunion you can imagine because everyone had to go back to the place of their roots. And so what would have normally been a quiet town on this night was actually a very crowded, overcrowded town, and Joseph was hoping and trying to get a room there for his wife so she could deliver in safety, and the best that he could find was a stable and a manger, and the King of Kings came in the most lowly fashion possible, and that's where we get our manger scene with the animals watching, and we don't know if there were animals in there watching or not, but we know that it was a manger, that it was in Bethlehem, and that the star shined bright above it, and all of heaven erupted in celebration as the angels burst forth in the sky, and the shepherds were in fields nearby watching their flock, and the angels began to praise God and tell the shepherds of the birth of the Messiah, and all of it just brought even more excitement to what was already a crowded city on a crowded night, and the hope of all mankind was born that day. And a fashion no one expected. Everyone expected for God's introduction to mankind to be with great pomp and circumstance and great nobility and royalty, and that's not the king that Jesus is. He's the king for everyone, not the elite, not the ones that have it all figured out. He came for all of us, and he came as all of us, a baby in a manger in humility. And we know that he lived a pure and a spotless life, and he set the example and made a way for all of us.
One of the things that always fascinated me about the story especially was the fact that the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem isn't short, and she is 9.5 months pregnant, basically. Yeah. You know, it had to be an arduous, I just can't imagine what that would be like, even riding on a donkey, you know.
At least I can't either. And you know, it's a very popular teaching in this day and time, just the sacrifice that Mary made personally to bring our Savior into the world. I mean, she gave up a lot and endured a lot. And, you know, carrying a child and bearing a child is enough on its own, but having to make that trip and, you know, on those cool nights on the back of a donkey going through the terrain there in Galilee and Bethlehem, I'm with you. It had to be pretty gruesome, pretty tough.
And on the other side of the equation is Joseph. And now here's a man that, as you said, he was engaged to her at the time before they married, when they found out she was pregnant. He had to become a man of faith and listen to what the angel said, too, because that put him in a rough position, as we know the Jewish tradition on that. You know, it's awful strict.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact of the matter was, it wasn't his baby.
Right.
And if we're to be honest, if I were, you know, when I was engaged to my wife, if she came up pregnant and it wasn't my baby, it would be something that would be hard to deal with. Absolutely. And, you know, we think of Joseph and Mary as being these people that are just so special and supernatural, but we need to remember that they were just like us.
Yes.
And, you know, the Bible even talks about that Joseph was a good man, and he didn't want to disgrace Mary. He didn't want to shame her, and so he decided in his mind to just divorce her quietly. So he was going to just walk away from the relationship, and that night he had a dream, and in the dream an angel came and told him, look, the baby inside of your wife, your fiance, is from the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, and he'll save his people from their sins. And so very cool that God had it all figured out, and he told Mary exactly what she needed to hear, and we see that in the book of Luke. And then also he came and, you know, he sent his angel Gabriel to talk to Mary, and then he sent an angel in a dream vision to talk to Joseph, and he told each of those two exactly what they needed to hear to take away all their questions so that they could, you know, do this together. And you know, I always wonder what everybody else thought. What did they think about Joseph and Mary? Did they look down on them? Did they judge them? Were they critical of their relationship? You know?
Yes.
And despite all of that, all that they went through, they knew that there was a greater good with the baby that was growing inside of Mary.
And we're speaking with the lead pastor at Cornerstone Church here in Cleveland, Timothy McGee, and talking about the original Christmas story, the real Christmas story, and all the things that led up to it. As we just talked about Mary and Joseph, the thought that went through my mind is something that the Christ later tried to get across to everybody, was faith, have faith, and they had to have a ton of it. Another part of the story, you mentioned the different books, the different parts of the story come from. People kind of get confused about that, because if they don't know the Bible, especially, they're going to look for what we think of as a Christmas story from the shepherds in the field and the angels singing and the whole thing. That's not all in one place in the Bible, is it?
No, it's not. And you can find the Christmas story in Matthew 1 and 2, and then also you flip over to Luke, and it picks up there in Luke chapter 2. And really the first several chapters of Luke talk about the birth of John the Baptist, and then leading up to Jesus, and then the end of Luke chapter 2, Jesus is already a boy. He's no longer a baby. Same thing with Matthew. In Matthew chapter 1, it talks about Joseph and accepting Mary, and then Mary has the child there between Matthew 1 and Matthew 2, and in Matthew 2 is, of course, what we know as the Magi, or the wise men, coming to visit Christ.
Now, one of the things that always gets me when the people will say, well, why don't they have the same thing in both books? Why would they put down two different things? Doesn't that mean that one's wrong and one's right? And the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that question early on was, well, does everybody that hears something remember exactly the same part of a story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, different things stick out to people, and then I think that's why the different apostles wrote different things, and that way we got a full more complete story.
Exactly. It's multiple vantage points.
That's it. We don't all hear the same thing in the same way, and obviously, you know, they wrote it down as they remembered the different parts. You mentioned something else, the Magi. That's an interesting part of the story all by itself, isn't it? They actually visited the heart of the beast before they got to Bethlehem. They saw King Herod, right?
That's right. That's right. So they were there in history. Theologians believe they were in the Babylonian area, that they were in Babylon. And they saw the star, and being wise men, they deciphered what it was. They knew that it was the birth of the King of the Jews, as they said. And they came, and they stopped by King Herod and said, "You know, where's he at? We've come to see the king." So Herod thought that they were there to, you know, pay honor and tribute to himself. And
yes.
He said, "No, we're here for the King of the Jews." And really, kind of a sad turn in the story is that Herod was so jealous of this king that he made a terrible decree and had every child in the age group, every young baby, male baby in the age group of Jesus, killed in hopes of taking away this threat to his throne. And the Bible tells us that once again God spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, "Hey, take your wife and child and go to Egypt." And they went, and they fled to Egypt. And, you know, the life of Jesus was saved and spared through that.
We talked about the wise men. They brought different types of gifts. Can you elaborate a little bit on what they brought and why, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So the wise men come, and many people believe that they were there, and we, you know, we write the pictures of the wise men at the manger, but the Bible doesn't say that they were there at the manger, but it actually says that they came to the house. So we really believe that they came and saw Jesus more as a toddler than as a newborn, that he was somewhere between 0 and 3 years old, mostly around 2 years old whenever they came to see him. But they brought him 3 gifts. The gifts were gold and frankincense and myrrh. And each of the gifts is very much a meaningful gift. The gift of gold represented royalty and riches, you know, the gift of royalty, honoring that this is King Jesus. And then there was the frankincense. The frankincense and the myrrh, I kind of get these mixed up. You'll have to bear with me for a minute. The frankincense, it was in honor of royalty as well. I get these two mixed up, I'm sorry. One represents a death anointing oil. The other represents a kingly anointing oil. And the two go hand in hand. The reason being that Jesus deserved the nobility of the frankincense, but it was a foreshadowing of the sacrifice that he's going to make, and that would be his dying on the cross for all of us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's the way I understand, or what I've been taught too, is it's important that people understand that more than just a story of a kid being born in a lowly place and he becomes the King of Kings, the entire picture that is painted tells a lot about what he would go through in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, do you have the Bible in front of you there? Do you have some scripture that you could possibly read from the Bible there, just a little about the story?
Yeah, absolutely. Which part would you like?
I like the angels on high, you know, the guys, the workmen out there. All we're doing is our job, folks. We keep the wolves away, we keep the sheep and everything all together, and that's all we're doing out here, okay?
All right. Well, let's read there in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. We'll just pick it up right there. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told."
That story to me, it's fascinating.
Yes.
Because we were just talking about the guys that had the bucks to bring the frankincense and the myrrh and the gold.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that got a personal invite were the everyday Joes working out in the field.
You're right.
It kind of is a once again an indication of what Christ's teachings were going to be later on. It's a personal invitation to us. And speaking of his words and thoughts, if you don't mind, unless you have something else you would like to bring out about it, you have anything else you want to say on the Christmas story?
You know, one of the favorite parts of to the Christmas story to me is that after, you know, 8 days, Joseph and Mary were Jewish, so they took Jesus to the temple for the purification rites. And there was a man in Jerusalem there, and his name was Simeon, and he was one of the priests there in the temple. And he made a statement that really just it ministers to me, and I'll read it. It's in Luke 2:29. It says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And it just, to me, brings back into the story the anticipation and the excitement. This man of God had served in the temple all of his life, and he's holding an 8-day-old baby, and he realizes, this is it. This is him. This is the promised one. This is the Messiah that God has sent, as he promised. And he says, you know, God, I can die in peace now.
Yeah.
I've found what I've been looking for my whole life. And that's the story of the gospel in my mind, because I see people week in and week out that come in with just life situations, and oftentimes are hopeless, and we can't do anything for them. We point them to Jesus, and the moment their eyes find Jesus, they realize, I've found what I've been looking for this whole time. And that's the excitement for Christmas. It's that we remember that all of creation was crying out for him to come, and now we celebrate that he's already here, that he's come. And, you know, Emmanuel means that God is with us, and we sing that at Christmas. And I just never forget that God came close, and now we can look upon Jesus as the priest Simeon did there in the New Testament.
And that's another beautiful part of the story. Pastor McGee, I appreciate you taking the time. Now, y'all are going to have your Christmas pageant. Is that going to be on Christmas Eve?
It will be Christmas Eve at 11 a.m.
Okay, so this show will be on just before that, folks. You'll have time to get cleaned up and head down to Cornerstone Church.
Absolutely, and the majority of the service is going to be ran by our children, and they're going to be doing a play, and really only God knows what exactly they're going to do. So we're excited to see it.
See, that'll be fun. Tell the folks one more time how they can get to Cornerstone Church.
We are on 105 just west of Cleveland. We're 1 mile from the intersection of Highway 59 and 105. And so if you'll go to the intersection right there at Walmart and Burger King and just head west like you're going towards Conroe, we'll be a mile down there on the right.
All right, folks. And, of course, you can get to it if you're over on the Conroe side. If you're coming from Conroe, you can drive east on 105, and you'll see it. It'll be on the north side of 105, right?
Yep. We're about halfway between Interstate 59 or Highway 59 and the new loop around Cleveland.
There we go. That's an easy way to know when you're close.
That's
either
right.
Direction. Well, thank you for being my guest, and thanks for sharing the word.
And it's been my privilege and pleasure. I appreciate it.
If you have something happening in the area, we need you to pass that information on to us here at KTHT. Write it up and give us the particulars, you know, who, what, when, where, why. You can write us at KTHT 416 Dunham, D-U-N-N-A-M, Avenue, Cleveland, Texas, 77327. And with that, I guess we're going to let the picker take us out of here.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.